Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Chip Duncan has made a lot of films under difficult circumstances. The Milwaukee-based filmmaker, photographer, and author has filmed in Afghanistan from the top of a melting glacier and from earthquake-ravaged Haiti. But his most recent documentary, The First Patient, took more than 15 years to make and is in some ways his most profound film.
Duncan and his crew were granted permission to film first-year medical students as they dissected human cadavers to learn what all doctors must know, gross anatomy. It's a rite of passage for all medical students, but until now has never been filmed for a general audience. The film premiered a couple of weeks ago at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and Duncan sat down with me to explain how it came to be.
My first exposure to gross anatomy was in 2003. I went down to University of South Carolina to meet with a friend who ran the anatomy lab. Long story short, he said, "Why don't you come to the lab tomorrow morning?" I said, "I will either faint or want to make a film." And here we are 15 years later. And we were turned down by a number of institutions along the way, but including Milwaukee. We wanted to do it here in Milwaukee. But finally, Mayo Clinic School of Medicine said yes. And we started on a journey to raise funds and find the right partners, and then wound up filming this extraordinary class of 52 students, 22 of whom are in the film. It's interesting. When we first started, I thought I might focus more on the journey of the donor or the journey of the cadaver. And then as we got into it, I really became compelled by the journey of the students and what they go through, how they process the information, how they discover what death is and what death means. And then over the course of the class, death is informing life in such a profound way that it was like nothing I'd seen before. And this, it's really the student's journey. You've seen the film, so you know they're exceptional people, but they're discovering all the things the audience is discovering at the same time.
It is almost in real time. I mean, we're watching them figure this stuff out. We're watching them experience what it's like to cut the skin,
mm-hmm.
what it's like to pick up the liver, hold the heart in your hand.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Bob Huck and I shot this together. And by the time we were actually filming the class, I'd been in the lab enough over the years to have a pretty good sense of what I was going to see and what it was going to look like. There were a couple of exceptions. The one part of the film that I had not seen previously was most of the head and neck dissection. So I'd been in the lab when they were doing brains, but I hadn't actually filmed it before our filming experience for this documentary. But there's so much reverence for the donor and so much just deep learning that goes on. And it's the kind of learning that I think our audiences will embrace, because one of the things I like to describe is we knew going in that we were going to watch students move from fear and discovery of death into a place where they learn how to be a doctor. They learn the basic fundamentals, how to touch a patient, how to do basic manipulation of the body or surgical techniques that they're learning for the first time, that sort of thing. But what this class really, what's really happening when you see this is you're learning what it means to be a human being. And that's what these students go through. So Act Three of the film is it's the part of the film that I didn't anticipate and didn't expect, which is the magical part of the film, really. You find yourself looking at a brain dissection and yet thinking about what's going on in your own body and where your soul resides and what happens when you die and what does it all mean? And those are things that I think they're big questions. When we started, even though I've done so many films that are in about spiritual practices or religious practices around the world or spiritual places around the world, this is the first film that we've done that I actually felt was a spiritual film. It's not religious at all, but you can't watch it and not start asking the bigger questions about where we come from and what are we? What are we?
And who are we once the only part of us left is a cadaver?
Yeah.
Because that was a big theme throughout the entire film.
Well, if you put yourself in their shoes, we know if someone's going to do an operation, if someone's going to do a surgery of some kind or a dental procedure of some kind, the first thing we all do is say, oh, I need a painkiller. I need Novocaine. I need to be on propofol or something where you're knocked out, right? Because we know they're going to be cutting. These students are afraid to cut. Why would you be afraid? Well, you'd be afraid because you think you're going to hurt somebody and you don't want to hurt somebody. So the very first thing that happens in the first act of the film is the audience and the students are confronting death. What is it? What does it mean? If there's no soul in there, it's not a big deal. But you have to navigate that thought process to be able to make an incision, a simple incision. And so, you know, when we start this film, they're fully intact human bodies. And when the film is over, they're essentially cremains at the very end, because the bodies are cremated and there is a memorial service at the end. But the audience, I think, that at least in our experience in the first, 10 days or so of the release, is that it's not for everybody. There are people who will be squeamish or who may not want to see this. But for those who have the courage to come and confront it and put themselves in this process, I think they'll be enriched. At least that's my hope.
You said something about, you know, once the soul is not there, that this is just the body, that it's okay, that it doesn't really matter. But I think one of the things that struck me watching this is that it always mattered. It didn't matter that that person was no longer alive. It still mattered to these students, mm-hmm. that somehow the whole complete person was still there in some form. And reverence is exactly the word, that they somehow never lost that reverence for that person and for the life that that person had. Even if they knew nothing about the actual life, it was just the fact that they never treated it as, oh, it's a piece of paper. I can just fold it or do whatever.
The reason they call it the first patient is all doctor's first patient is a cadaver. So everybody's first patient in medical school is dead. But you learn right away to treat it the same way you would treat a living patient. You have to care about it. And it's innate, I think, at this point, watching them. They care. They genuinely care. And so there are some things that are shocking at first when you see them. So, for example, some of the female cadavers still have nail polish on their fingers. You can't see that and not humanize the cadaver. So, well, you disassociate, you have to be able to dissect the hand. And at the same time, the freckles or the nail polish, you step back and you say, who was this person and what was their life like and what did they do for a living and who was their family?
How much do the students actually know of that? Are they purposely not told any of those things?
It depends on the medical school. I've been made aware of a medical school in New York State where the students actually meet the families of the cadaver before they do any dissection at all. And that was new to me. Generally, most of them offer some really basic information, a first name, a profession, an age. Some will offer a cause of death, but some medical schools don't do that because there's a kind of a more forensic approach to the cadaver. Discover the cause of death if you can. So they all teach it a little bit differently. The fundamentals are the same. In most cases, they start on the back and the head and hands are covered. So you work your way into this process in a way that allows you to be ready for the discovery of the hands or to be ready for seeing the face for the first time. Once the skin is removed, it's remarkable, but we all look the same. So literally, once the facial skin is removed, you can't tell one person from another. But to get to that point, if they were to walk into the lab and start on the head, that would be that'd just be super scary for most people. It's certainly scary for me.
Yeah, I think it would probably push most people away. They wouldn't ever go to becoming a doctor.
Right.
I think that would just be so hard.
Right. Well, and one of the things that I think people will realize when they see this film is most medical professionals have to go through this. So our dentists, our oral surgeons, physician's assistants, a lot of the nursing profession, a lot of the physical therapists that we deal with, they've gone through this as well. So if you think about it, if you're doing physical therapy on somebody's hand or knee or ankle, you want to know that they've seen the inside. You want to know that they know where that nerve goes and what that tendon does. And so there's so many people that we're dealing with in our daily lives who've gone through it, but the subject has not been dealt with previously. That's what I think is most important about the film is it hasn't been seen before, and it probably won't be seen again. This was a nearly impossible film to get made.
Why were medical schools so reluctant to allow you to film?
Well, there is the notion of kind of the sacredness of the body, and the anonymity that's required for the students has to be there for the documentary team as well. To this day, I don't know who the cadavers were. I don't know anything about them. So there's associated legal issues with that. We have, of course, releases from the cadaver families and from Mayo Clinic and from all of the students. So that's part of the process as you're jumping through those legal hurdles. But in our case, we vetted the school and the program, but the school also vetted us. So there are certain documentary teams that may have taken a very different approach that wouldn't have suited the ethics or the values of that particular institution. So we partnered in a sense that we honored their principles and their guidelines. There's no editorial partnership. I mean, we essentially all Mayo Clinic School of Medicine did was allow us into the lab and help us work through the releases and the issues associated with the filming. But I do think it took a lot of courage on their part to say yes. And from our standpoint, it helped that they're one of the best medical facilities on earth.
The students that we meet in the film, where are they now in their medical careers? How long ago was that part of it filmed?
So the students that we filmed year one are now in year four. So it takes a while to make a film. And in this case, we were dealing with different release strategies around this. So we're dealing with year four students now. When the film premiered at the Milwaukee Film Festival, eight of the students made it down for the premiere. And that was exciting because not only because I got to see them and you know, reacquaint, but also because the film changed them. Just as I was saying, the film probably won't be made again. They know that they're participating in something unique. And so it means a lot to them. I mean, the students who are featured in this film, they had an experience with us that was unforgettable. And it changed them. They all have talked about that. Essentially, because we were documenting their journey, we were asking them things that they might not have considered otherwise. And any documentarian who tells you that they're not somehow changing things, they are. Of course they are. Every journalist asks a question that changes the reality just by the question. But they're, I think at this point, very proud and very pleased to have participated. There's a screening coming up soon at the undergraduate college of one of the students because they wanted to honor her. So she's an alumni. They wanted to honor her. They're doing a screening.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Do you feel that they feel that participating in this made them better doctors?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Did participating make them better doctors? I think they'd have to answer that, but I think by conversation with them and through observation, it definitely made the experience a much more humanizing and much more philosophical experience. So I think the way they look at patients and treat patients will be enhanced. It's not that, you know, they wouldn't have been great anyway, but I do think it'll be enhanced by this experience of trying to understand what made that cadaver human and what makes all of us human. I mean, it's really interesting because we went into it knowing we were doing something special and something unique, but because it was pure documentation, we didn't know where it was going to go. And the questions that we were asking were really questions about what are we? And when you get to the end of the film, I mean, you've seen it. It's like, well, we're a lot more than I thought we were.
How did it change you?
I think one of the students in the film says this toward the end, and I think it's true for me. I have a much greater appreciation for my body. I have a much greater appreciation for doctors. Now, you get you get into all kinds of issues related to healthcare that are kind of controversial and not pleasant issues around whether it's pharmaceutical industry or the insurance industry, but all of that isn't what doctors are about. And I finished this going, oh my God, these are the most altruistic, service-driven, passionate about patient care people that I've ever met. I mean, my appreciation for doctors dramatically improved. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, I've always been a donor, a organ donor, signed the back of my driver's license. And when we were doing this, of course, everybody's saying, hey, would you donate your body? And I wasn't real sure when we started. And now, yeah, why not? I mean, and by the way, we do talk to donors in the film. And it's interesting to note that three of the donors who appeared in the film are from Milwaukee. So we have an exceptional program here in town as well. And the one donor, it's a close friend of mine, is Paco. And Paco was just a wonderful character on screen, but also came to the opening night at the Oriental and just, you know, charmed people with his participation. He's a lovely guy.
Well, I think it's an amazing way to give back when you're not here anymore.
Yeah, we're done.
Let somebody learn.
Yeah. For me, at this point, I can't see why I wouldn't do it.
I want to thank you so much, Chip Duncan, for coming back in, talking about The First Patient. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Milwaukee's Chip Duncan is a filmmaker, author, photographer, and president of the Duncan Group. His newest film is The First Patient.
It premiered a couple of weeks ago at the Milwaukee Film Festival and is now enjoying a longer run at the Oriental Theater. For more information, head to WUWM.com.